Hey everybody, welcome to the Soul Food Priest podcast with Father Ben. It is great to have you, and I'm here with Sylvia Vega and Kira Roddy. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. So correct me if I'm wrong, we've got, later this year, we're going to build a studio.
Correct.
Yes.
And those Yay! Of you that are not aware, we are kind of giving our podcast an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be able to watch us as we like pick our nose and and
it like could be good, it could be bad.
Burp and stuff. And so like so it's going to be really great when I bring food for these guys and you watch them like cram a croissant into their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I really fully encourage all of you guys when that happens to take a screenshot of them with a mouthful of croissant and pass it around as much as possible. This would be very, very good.
Just so, don't tag us.
Yes. Yes, please. So this morning I made them chai latte tea creme brulee. Mm. Right. And how was yours, Sylvia?
It was delicious, and it was paired next to a raisin oatmeal cookie. So I not only
kind
devoured it,
flavors.
So I just kind of grabbed a spoon and then put it on my cookie as well.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
Yeah, very, very healthy.
Okay.
No, but it was very delicious. I've never had one.
Okay.
Very healthy.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't know that that's the kind of creme brulee you made. You just kind of handed it over with a smile and I didn't even ask questions. Mm-hmm. I devoured.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, this is different and it's delicious. And now that you say that that's what it was, it is awesome.
Kind of the fall flavor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's nutmeg, allspice, clove kind of thing. And so those of you that are listening, Kira has been on me for about a year now to make the chai latte tea creme brulee.
Okay, in my defense, I didn't know he could create something like that. And then he said he could, and I was like, okay
get on.
Okay, well, we got to do it. Yeah.
So
be not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're curious on how to make a chai latte tea creme brulee, you make the creme brulee batter, and you guys remember what the ratio is because we talked about this before.
Yeah, totally do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you said it to me about three times.
Uh-huh.
Told me I could make one, and it's I don't remember.
1:1:1:1.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Cream. Of all the, yeah.
1 quart of cream, 1 dozen egg yolks, 1 cup of sugar, 1 vanilla bean.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
I was just waiting
yeah.
for you guys.
Well, you're Betsy Badass. Yeah, you know this stuff. So, and then what you do is you take the batter when it's warm and you steep the tea. I put like 7 tea bags in there. Steep it for half an hour with the vanilla beans. Strain it out and you bake it in a water bath.
That is so cool.
And then you, of course, brulee the top.
That's my favorite part.
So speaking of cool flavors, have you guys ever heard of a restaurant in England called the Fat Duck?
No.
That is such a cool name.
Isn't that a cool name?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, his name's Heston Blumenthal, and he does like what they would call molecular gastronomy.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll cook with like liquid nitrogen and things like that.
Oh, I have heard of that.
Yeah.
Crazy thing.
And so the Fat Duck, it's 15 courses.
Ooh.
Yeah. 15 courses, and it's he uses the entire sensory experience, like your sounds, smell, touch. He has one that's it's basically a seafood dish, but he'll make it. It's hard to describe. It looks like an ocean reef. So he makes like dried meringue that looks like sand.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Like on a beach.
Uh-huh.
And then it actually comes, as crazy as it sounds, when you get it, it comes with ear pods that you put in. The ear pods are served in a conch shell. You put it in, and it's the sound of an ocean reef. And so like...
Smart.
That's what I was wondering. Like, is it the sound of like the food crunching or like you do...
No, like the ocean.
It is the ocean.
So when they serve the dessert, one of the desserts is like this like chocolate cake thing. And before you get it, they spray into the air cocoa butter. So you smell this before you consume it and you see it. And so Heston Blumenthal, now this sounds cray-cray.
Uh-huh.
I would totally taste it, but most people are totally grossed out. So he does this whole menu based on Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And then he has this whole menu that's based on breakfast. And so one of the things that you eat is bacon and eggs ice cream.
I would try it. I would try it. Anything bacon to me is like syrupy, salty.
I would totally try it.
I would totally try it. Yeah. And I mean, you don't have to finish it, but I would totally try it. It's not that crazy.
Okay. Yeah. See, this is where video would help you to see my face right now.
Now, if you would have said purple cat ice cream, and then no.
No. He has, it's cool. He actually has what's called snail porridge. So it's escargot porridge. Mm. And like.
There's nothing. Doesn't that sound delightful?
I like snails. I like escargots.
Nothing. Yeah. And that sounds delightful. Porridge doesn't sound great. And
well, porridge is big in England, right? And
yeah.
So escargot porridge. And escargot actually is pretty good. And so.
That sounds like, isn't it amazing though, you think about it? Probably about 500 years ago, 200 years ago, the people who were just trying to survive made porridge.
Yeah.
And would just get snails. And that was survival.
Yeah.
Now it's like delicacy.
Yeah.
And you pay, $200 for that
one? No. It's about, they have 54 employees that serve 40 guests an evening. And so
how much are you talking about a dish?
It's about, you pay what they call prefix. So it's about €500 per person without wine.
Ah.
So
that's actually not.
It's about $600. Without wine.
Oh, it's an you're getting delicious food. You're getting an experience as
yeah,
well.
That's
so
it. I mean, how often are you going to do that?
I mean, obviously. Right.
I would totally do it. I would totally
Let's
do it.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Let's
I mean,
do it. I think we should go for a mission trip.
Do you think
there.
They take Kroger cards? Like, if
I'm thinking Costco.
Yeah, Costco. Okay,
Costco.
Gotcha.
Mission trip.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is it's really cool to see some of the things that people do. And one of his good friends is, he's got several good friends that are really amazing at what they would call like home cooking, like cooking for poor people, right? And he does a lot to help the poor and stuff like that. But I love this story because Heston Blumenthal is a humble guy. He doesn't have a big ego. And what's funny is we kind of look alike. He's got shaved head and the same glasses. And I'm like, yes! Oh my gosh.
I'm so Googling him right now.
Yeah, check him out. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so it made me think about, okay, how do we connect sometimes with people that we're very different with?
Mm-hmm.
And this issue comes up a lot with Catholics. No, she's got a picture of him.
I did pull him up.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
He needs the rounder glasses. He does need the rounder glasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little more rectangular.
Maybe you guys are next to each other. Maybe siblings, cousins, or something.
I'm 100%. No. Yeah. Okay. 100%.
Sorry.
No.
Squirrel.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe we make squirrel ice cream. Anyway.
Ew.
So, how do we as Catholics connect with non-Catholics, with Protestants?
Yeah.
And so this issue comes up. People will say, okay, well, how do we, quote, evangelize non-Catholics?
Yeah.
And I've got my opinion and I would definitely welcome you guys, but the first of all, I think in my opinion, the word evangelize is just like, it just rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like it makes people sound like you're standing on a soapbox and on a street corner or something like that. Most people don't like that word.
And a lot of people are they're afraid of such a big evangelize. Oh, that's
right.
A big, so intimidated.
Yeah,
also.
That's only for priests or theologians. Yeah. That's not for me. Right. Yeah. And so how do we do that? Mm-hmm. And I think in my opinion, just maybe ABCs, mm-hmm. bullet points. And so number one, I always call it the 3 G's. First of all, I mean, this is an obvious point, okay, but we need to avoid being gossipy. Mm-hmm. We need to avoid that. We need to avoid being grouchy, mm-hmm. right? And, and we need to avoid what I call being grousy. What does that mean? It means that we have this, like, sullen spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if, you can have somebody with a double doctorate in theology that will drive people away from the faith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But somebody that comes to Mass every Sunday that's very, that's a devout Catholic, but is a horrible example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whereas somebody like Mother Teresa, even though she knew theology well, she didn't really study theology,
mm-hmm.
But drew people to the faith, right?
Yeah.
And so So I think, in other words, attitude is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Another thing is start with what we agree on. Yeah. Okay, so in other words, mm-hmm. we don't start with the church teaches blank mm-hmm. or the Pope teaches blank, because for them, for a lot of them, I should say, that means nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the other things, especially with younger people, one of the things that's helpful when we're talking to non-Catholics is we start with the subjective experience and go to the objective. We do not start with the objective and go to the subjective. Mm-hmm. Meaning, so it would go like this. We don't start with, well, the Bible teaches blank, so you need to do blank. Mm-hmm. What we do is we say, well, tell me your experience of God. And you get them talking, yeah. so to speak. And then you kind of lead them to the more objective. Well, that's cool, because, you know, that kind of coincides with what the Bible teaches and in the Old Testament.
Smart,
kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, we kind of get them talking about their experience of God. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're trying to rope anybody in. It's just a matter that we want to have a healthy adult discussion mm-hmm. that's not mudslinging.
Right.
You know, and because we, as the popes have pointed out, we have much more in common than we have differences. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of get to things that tend to be a little more contentious, like Mary, the Pope, and the mm-hmm. Eucharist, right? And so that's kind of my thoughts. I'm sure you guys yeah. have had experience with that too, huh?
And thank you so much for touching on the subject. Kira, let us know that a listener yes. asked us. Can you share with us what the question was from our listener?
Yeah, basically the question was, they wanted Father Ben to address, how do we evangelize as Catholics, especially if sometimes we don't feel like we know our faith that well, or we don't know the Bible as well. I think a lot of people also, when they hear evangelization, they think of that's not for me, mm-hmm. or it might look a certain way. We might have a stereotypical look of what it looks like, you know, so for Protestants, it might look this way. So, but really, what does that look like for the Catholic on a day-to-day basis, who's just trying to live their faith, maybe doesn't have the Bible memorized, or doesn't mm-hmm. feel like they fit in this certain mold? So I thought it was a great question. And, you know, and I think evangelization is simpler than what we think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's way simpler. It's just being authentic, to your point, not gossipy, being authentic, being a trustworthy person, you know, trying to do what's right, acknowledging our own weaknesses, not holding ourselves up, you know, but giving of ourselves to mm-hmm. other people. And even if that is listening, and, you know, to the point that you were saying with starting with the subjective, you know, just kind of tell me your story. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. just because if we do really love other people, we love a good love story, and God has a love story with each individual person. So mm-hmm. it's kind of intriguing when you look at another person and you're like, okay, let me hear about this kind of love story. You know, like you would ask, like, a married couple or someone dating, if they've been dating a while, how did you guys meet? You know, and we're all intrigued and want to hear those stories. And that's the same for other people's walk with God. So just kind of mm-hmm. getting a little more insight into their story, how God's been working, and mm-hmm. people appreciate that so, so much. So, yeah.
And would you say also, Father, that there, for all of those in us, I include myself in this, that it's easier to maybe evangelize not speaking? Is very mm-hmm. possible as well. You can evangelize with your actions. You can obviously you are speaking and mm-hmm. and you're proclaiming the word of God within your actions as well. So you can definitely evangelize using the Bible. You can definitely evangelize by, you know, loving your neighbor and mm-hmm. telling God's story. You can definitely also evangelize with the actions and the way that you treat others as well.
100%, because, and that kind of harkens back to what we were saying before, is that people can be evangelizing with the words and discredit the words they are evangelizing exactly. with when they don't have those actions, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that Pope Benedict XVI would say is that whenever we have a dialogue with non-Catholics, if it's interreligious dialogue with, say, Muslims or Buddhists, or what we would call ecumenical dialogue mm-hmm. with people that are Christian, just not Catholic Christian. Mm-hmm. He said it always has to be a truth based dialogue. Mm-hmm. So in other words, yeah, we start with what we believe, but we're also not shy mm-hmm. about what we disagree on. Mm-hmm. And so that's another mistake, especially in my opinion, some of the leaders in the faith make, is they're well-meaning. They mm-hmm. want to talk about, okay, let's just talk about what we agree on. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that we're chicken, that we dismiss. For instance, the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. I mean, John chapter 6, Jesus says in the Bread of Life discourse, my flesh is true food. My mm-hmm. blood is true drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Well, we take that literally, mm-hmm. okay? So many fundamentalists would take the Bible literally, start to finish.
Yeah.
Whereas we don't take every part of the Bible literally, mm-hmm. but we take that part literally. So mm-hmm. if I was having a dialogue with, say, a fundamentalist, I would say, well, okay, this is interesting because you guys do take this, most of the Bible literally, but mm-hmm. how do you explain this mm-hmm. if you don't believe in the Eucharist?
True.
Whereas they may turn that on its head, mm-hmm. and it's a legitimate argument. You know, one of the things that Catholics are often critiqued from, and I think it's a very legitimate argument, is that we wholeheartedly dismiss, or I should say a lot of Catholic priests do, they dismiss anything in the scripture about the devil mm-hmm. and Jesus casting out demons. I mean, when was the last time we heard mm-hmm. a homily preached on any of this? They usually skip over it completely. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of times, non-Catholics believe in that more than we do, even though the Catholic Church is the one that supplies exorcists.
Yeah.
Supremely mm-hmm. ironic. I mean, they covered this when I was doing the exorcist training in 2015. It's one of the things they brought up, mm-hmm. is that they actually have a harder time getting Catholic priests and bishops to understand this than they do Protestants. Mm-hmm. And the priests are the ones that have holy orders to deal with mm-hmm. demonology and mm-hmm. demonic possession. Mm-hmm. So there's some irony there. And but I just mentioned that we have to have the courage to have a truth-based dialogue. It's mm-hmm. not just that we sweep all the things we disagree on under the rug.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Because it's so important. There's so much that's kind of not being said right now about a lot of different things. And I think a lot of people fear, especially when we're trying to evangelize, that we're going to come across as judgmental and condescending or something like that. I think a lot of people worry about that if I say the truth and what we teach, then these other people are going to mm-hmm. see me as I'm judging them and I'm criticizing them. And perhaps they will. They probably will. But we have to speak the truth in love. And we have to realize that it's actually in loving the other person that we speak these truths, you know, that it, because I think there's probably enough evidence right now that's starting to show that really and truly there are some things in our culture that are widely accepted but are really harming people years on down the line. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to try to protect people, to try to help people as soon as we can. And even if people think we're not loving them,
yeah,
you know, we need to make sure that we do and that we are mm-hmm. and that it is in love that we speak these truths to, and love for them, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's so key.
Now, especially for those of you that are parents, because and I think with I think especially with and that's one of the things that, of course, Catholics and non-Catholics would have in common, is we appeal to what's good for the family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so for instance, maybe we discuss less, we believe blank, you believe blank, but we discuss, okay, the culture has some problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we all agree on this. What's the best way to mm-hmm. tackle this stuff? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really beautiful because we can work together.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Or for instance, many non-Catholics are, holy mackerel, they are just amazingly pro-life people mm-hmm. that do extraordinarily pro-life and mm-hmm. also do amazing missionary work for the poor around the mm-hmm. world.
Yeah.
So, you know, George Weigel, he one of the things that he's pointed out is that we're actually trench mates in the culture war. Mm-hmm. You know, if you imagine soldiers in a foxhole, he says that's what we are with many evangelicals now. Mm-hmm. Whereas many Catholics who are Catholic in name only, i.e. some politicians, you know, they're the ones fighting other Catholics.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's again, supremely ironic.
And I do see that a lot, you know, with that, you know, that sour look, you know, Catholic is oftentimes it's Catholics going against Catholics. And I'm like, that is not a good way to evangelize. And there's this quote that Saint Teresa of Avila said, "From silly devotions and sour-faced saints, good Lord, deliver us." And so I always like that quote.
Aww, yeah,
you know,
we don't want sour-faced saints out there. You know,
and that's what I mean when I say grousy and grumpy. It's so true. But then, you know, she's a saint and Father Ben is definitely not. So not that I'm comparing
totally
myself.
Yeah,
you know, exactly.
I guess also, for if you're thinking like me and are like me, which you know of your faith, you're just, you know, I'm only in my 30s. So I guess, am I still kind of starting?
Kind of.
Maybe. You know, if you just don't know, like our listener said, how do you really evangelize if you don't really know your stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's about time to pick up a book or get to a Bible study. And maybe if you have this urge to want to go out there and evangelize, maybe that's the Holy Spirit calling you and saying it's maybe time to get to Bible study. It's maybe time to maybe join this girl lady group that's happening in Lent, or maybe it's so maybe the Holy Spirit is actually calling you to learn more about your faith. Yes, do it through your actions, do it, you know, blah blah blah, but maybe pick up a book and start learning a little bit more. And I speak to all of us, really myself, we never stop learning. I'm sure priests, deacons, bishops learn new things every day. And us, of course, we have to continue our growth in our faith every single day. So let's all pick up a book and start evangelizing, knowing our stuff.
I could not agree more because that happened to me in my 20s, where I was like relying on the priest to give me the answer, and he looked at me and was like, "You realize you are going to have to pick up a book and take some classes, right?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, but it's so much easier just to ask you and rely on you." But I took those classes, and from experience, I've told people that learning more about my faith was the moment I converted from being a cradle Catholic who converted to Catholicism. You know, just I was just going through the motions, and this is what we believe because that's what we believe. But then when you learn more, oh man,
that's right,
faith life, everything transforms. I could not echo those words more.
And nowadays, we're so lucky to have so many forms, right, Father, of just learning. If you're not a reader, then we have great, amazing movies about saints, about so many things. We have, if you are a learner that needs to physically see something and be with other people to learn, you know, we've got great groups going on. So there's different options for each one of us that's out there in our learning capacity. So, let's do it. Let's learn more.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons we've talked about on the podcast that, in my opinion, I think it's good to use the catechism as a prayer book, not as a reference book, so that we're using our mind and our heart working together. Cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks for your questions, and don't forget to put soul in your food and give food to your soul. God bless you.